We have in Venezuela the largest oil reserves, proven oil reserves in the world, the eighth reservoir of natural gas, huge potential in electricity, gold, critical minerals, and so on. This can only be unleashed with a society, with a government that brings order to this chaos, that open markets, that brings rule of law, that is friendly to international investment, and in a country that is producing less than 1 million barrels a day, could reach 4, 5, or 6 in a decade.
This is my video update on this Sunday afternoon, November the 2nd, coming to you from Hagia Napa, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with a quick update on the situation in Pokrovsk, where the Russian Ministry of Defense claims that Ukrainian soldiers are now surrendering in this area. There are photos circulating on social media of some sort of Ukraine military meeting with high-level military officials. Sirsky is there, and Budanov also appears to be present at this meeting. And they are focusing on Budanov's face at this meeting, and he looks absolutely stunned, wasted, trashed. And this is probably because of the Black Hawk operation that is being blamed on Budanov, because this Black Hawk operation of Budanov's guys, his military intel special forces, they got annihilated as the two helicopters landed about a kilometer away from Pokrovsk. The Russian military was there waiting for them, and they ambushed these guys. Completely annihilated the special forces, the military intel, Budanov guys, and it was a complete debacle, this Black Hawk operation. And so a lot of people are commenting on Budanov's face as he is in attendance at this meeting, if this photo is real and to be believed, right? I have to say that nowadays with AI and stuff like that. But anyway, Maria Zakharova, she has replied to the reports circulating around the collective West media that the Pentagon has greenlit Tomahawks to Ukraine. There are no inventory problems, and all that is waiting is Trump to sign off on the Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine. And Maria Zakharova said, as the current situation and previous years have shown, it is clear that militarization and arms deliveries, especially to a terrorist regime, will not lead to a settlement. Moreover, such actions would contradict the campaign promises made by the current U.S. administration. Yeah, I think those campaign promises made by Trump, those are long gone. Those campaign promises, those are long, long gone. But Trump did promise during the campaign that he would put an end to long-range missile strikes into Russia. He called Biden's policy of long-range missile strikes into Russia using ATACMS, he called it crazy, right? He said that's going to take us to World War III, something along those lines. I remember Trump giving about a 2-3 minute speech from Mar-a-Lago, saying that all of this escalation from Biden, especially launching long-range missiles into Russia, is nuts, and it's going to take us to World War III, and Biden is nuts for doing this, and he's going to put a stop to all of this. Well, so much for those campaign promises. Anyway, that's Zakharova's response to the reports of ATACMS being sent to the Green Goblin. And this now takes us to Trump's latest Truth Social post, where, according to Reuters, Trump threatens U.S. military action in Nigeria over treatment of Christians. So let me read you this latest Truth Social post from U.S. President Trump. Christianity is facing an existential threat in Nigeria. Thousands of Christians are being killed. Radical Islamists are responsible for this mass slaughter. I am hereby making Nigeria a country of particular concern. That's all caps, but that is the least of it. When Christians or any such group is slaughtered, like is happening in Nigeria, 3,100 versus 4,476 worldwide, something must be done. I am asking Congressman Riley Moore, together with Chairman Tom Cole and the House Appropriations Committee, to immediately look into this matter and report back to me. The United States cannot stand by while such atrocities are happening in Nigeria and numerous other countries. We stand ready, willing, and able to save our great Christian populations around the world. Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America. So here's a post on X from Spencer Hakmian, who says, isn't it a little suspicious that all of the countries Trump wants us to go to war with are oil rich? Iran, Venezuela, now Nigeria. Anyway, there is a situation that is also developing in Mali, where you have ISIS, or an ISIS group that goes by the name of JNIM. And they are closing in on the capital city in Mali. They already control territory outside of Mali, and it looks like they may capture the main city of Mali. And if this does happen, then we will have an Al-Qaeda ISIS government rule in place in Mali, which would be a freaking disaster. From The Guardian, how Al-Qaeda-linked jihadist group JNIM is bringing Mali to its knees. Political instability and fuel shortages caused by rebel group is driving Mali to the brink of becoming an Islamist republic. Yeah, this group captured a lot of territory outside of the main city, and then they cut off the fuel supplies to the main city, and now they're moving into the main city and preparing to capture it. So something is developing in Africa. Something is developing in Africa under the Biden administration, and Macron. The French were pushed out of many parts of Africa, and Africa was definitely moving towards the multipolar world. And now it looks like using ISIS, perhaps, that the globalists are making a play at Africa, or they're trying to reverse the trend of Africa moving towards the multipolar world, moving closer to China, a lot of Chinese investment as well. And something is definitely happening in Africa. And it looks like we've got Al-Qaeda and ISIS being used to reverse the trajectory of many countries in Africa over the past 4 or 5 years. Very troubling developments. Anyway, let's do a Venezuela update now. And in the interview with Bloomberg, Maria Corina Machado, the peace-loving Nobel Prize peace winner, peace-loving Maria Corina Machado. It's in her name. Corina, corazón. Corina Machado, right? She's a peace-loving Nobel Peace Prize winner. I can't say peace enough whenever I mention her name. And I talked about her Bloomberg interview yesterday, where she said that the only way to bring freedom and peace and democracy to Venezuela is for the United States to regime change Maduro and to strike at Venezuela. Striking at Venezuela is the only way to bring democracy and peace to Venezuela. And she also said in that Bloomberg interview, And this is according to Drop Site News. Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado tells Bloomberg that, now get this, are you guys ready? Tells Bloomberg that the Palestinian armed resistance group Hamas is now located in Venezuela. She welcomes Trump's recent military escalation and blames all extrajudicial killings on Maduro. She's talking about the killings of people on speedboats. About 45 or 55 people have been killed on boats that the Pentagon claims were narco boats. I'm just chilling right here in Ayia Napa. Chilling and talking about the news. So Hamas is in Venezuela, according to Maria Corazon Corina Machado. I thought someone said Hezbollah was in Venezuela a week ago. Didn't someone say Hezbollah was there a week ago or 2 weeks ago? Now Hamas is there. Okay. Axios is reporting that Trump better do something soon in Venezuela, because according to their sources, according to their report, Republicans are beginning to sour on his military buildup near Venezuela. He's lost about 10% support from Republicans with regards to an operation in Venezuela. It went from about 68% support from Republicans, and now it's down to 58% support for some sort of a strike on Venezuela. So Trump better get going on Venezuela, according to these reports, or else his support for striking at Venezuela is going to melt away. That is basically the message from Axios and the mainstream media. As I said yesterday in my video update, they are very, very excited about some sort of a war or operation in Venezuela. So that's the message from Axios. The Washington Post had an interesting article going over the military buildup that has taken place around Venezuela. The article has the title, "These Are the U.S. Ships and Aircraft Massing Off Venezuela. The large-scale buildup of U.S. military forces and assets in the Caribbean suggests that the Trump administration is preparing to expand operations." And the Washington Post has all of the information about the military buildup. It talks about, or it has the graph, the information on the Ford carrier group, which is en route. It goes into detail on the naval assets that are located in the area. Talks about the air assets, the special operations forces. It's a massive military buildup that is taking place in the region. Definitely big enough for a big extended airstrike. Big enough for a decapitation strike. Not big enough for any type of ground operation or invasion. My understanding of things is that when the Ford carrier group arrives to the region, you'll have about 16,000 U.S. Troops in the region. But you're going to need upwards of 50,000 if you're going to carry out any type of ground operation. At least that's my understanding from the reports that I've read. But still, a big enough force for a sustained air attack against Venezuela. And so we wait. We wait to see what Trump is going to do. Some media analysts say the strike against Venezuela can happen any hour. Now others say it's going to take another week or two before something happens. And then there's the thinking that nothing's going to happen. There are some analysts who say this is a bluff, or this is the Trump administration trying to scare and pressure Maduro into just leaving. Possibly. Possibly, but I find that hard to believe, man. You're going to send all of these military assets into the region just so you can try to scare Maduro into picking up his stuff and going into exile? Would Maduro really do that? I don't know. It's possible. It's possible, but I don't see it. And then, of course, you run the risk that if this was indeed the plan to scare Maduro into leaving, you run the risk that this is going to actually lead to a military action. Because how do you pull back from this? If you're the president of the United States, how do you disengage from this? What do you say? We're now going to pull our forces back because Maduro didn't leave? Anyway, we'll see what's going to happen in Venezuela. Let's shift gears. Let's go for a little bit of a walk as well. And let's shift gears and do an Nexperia. Let's go this way. Let's do a Nexperia chip update. Because the Nexperia facility in China has decided to do business on its own without the Netherlands headquarters, Nexperia, which was seized by the government in the Netherlands. And the facility in China, which makes the chips, they have decided, you know what? We don't need the headquarters anymore. We've got the product. So we're going to start inking deals with companies in China. They get priority. The companies in China will get priority for our chips. And then we're going to start making deals with companies outside of China. And we will start delivering our chips. And there will be no more supply issues because this was causing a lot of supply issues, especially in the automotive industry. And that is how Nexperia is going to proceed. They are ditching the Dutch headquarters. No need for the Dutch headquarters. And they are now going to operate independent of the HQ in the Netherlands. And what's going to happen to the company in the Netherlands after about 6 months to a year, because it has no product, it has nothing to sell, it's going to go bust, man. It's going to go bankrupt and bust, unless, of course, the government of the Netherlands decides to bail them out. But why would they? You have no product. You have nothing to sell anymore. So that's the result of the Nexperia fiasco. Here is a post from David Lee, major development on global Nexperia chip shortage. Earlier this week, rumors circulating stating one Nexperia China is signing new contracts with global customers bypassing Nexperia HQ. New terms include all transactions will be paid in RMB. How about that? And priority will be given to satisfy local demand, then global demand. What a debacle, man, from the Netherlands. What a freaking debacle. And no one was fired. Was anybody fired in the Netherlands over this debacle? Anyone fired? Nope. No one fired. Probably promoted. What a freaking debacle. What a clown world this whole Nexperia thing was, huh? Definitely going to make my clown world of the year, this Nexperia story. Let's continue with debacles and talk about the Russian oil sanctions from the United States on Lukoil and Rosneft. I've talked about Orbán looking for an exemption. I've talked about Germany and Merz looking for an exemption. Guess who else is going to need an exemption? Bulgaria. Bulgaria is going to need an exemption. It turns out that Bulgaria has quite a big refinery. Actually, Bulgaria's biggest refinery connected to Luke Oil. The refinery is known as the Burgas refinery, as well as 200 gas stations. And Bulgaria is now going to look for an exemption to Trump's oil sanctions. And they've actually started to limit fuel exports to various EU countries out of fear that come November, I believe November 21st, the sanctions take effect against Luke Oil and Rosneft. And they're afraid that come November 21st, Luke Oil will not be able to operate, and this Burgas refinery will not be able to operate. And they're going to have fuel shortages. So they have now started to restrict fuel delivery, Bulgaria, to other EU member states. Isn't that interesting, huh? Isn't that interesting? Wasn't the collective West going on and on about Russian fuel shortages, right? Zelensky attacking the Russian refineries, and Putin has fuel shortages, and there are lines at petrol stations, and the Russian economy is going to collapse because of these fuel shortages. And now it looks like, because of Trump's sanctions against Luke Oil and Rosneft, countries in the EU are going to experience fuel shortages. My, oh my. Interesting turn of events. EU nation limits fuel exports to block members amid Luke Oil sanctions. The major Russian oil producer, Luke Oil, owns Bulgaria's biggest refinery, over 200 gas stations, and an extensive fuel transport network. Bulgaria has partly restricted fuel exports to EU states amid security and supply concerns following the recent U.S. sanctions on Russia's Luke Oil. The oil major controls the Baltic country's largest refinery, Neftochim Burgas, and over 200 gas stations under Luke Oil Bulgaria. You know what makes this story even more interesting? Is that the Bulgarian government is asking for the extension, and they're claiming that if fuel prices go up, the opposition, which is friendly to Russia, or they claim that the opposition is friendly to Russia. I believe the president is also accused of being Russian friendly in Bulgaria. They're saying that that this runs the risk of causing chaos in Bulgaria, and perhaps even the collapse of the EU friendly government. And that's why they need an exemption, because if they collapse, then you run the risk of getting a government that is going to be friendly to Moscow. So they're actually running with that excuse in order to justify a Trump oil sanctions exemption. Clown world, everybody. And we're not even at clown world yet. We're not even at clown world. But Orban, he is blasting Donald Tusk. He is going after Donald Tusk. Actually, Donald Tusk started this this fight, this war of words. Donald Tusk has been going after Orban. He was actually praising the attacks on, he praised the attack on Nord Stream, and various Polish government officials were praising the attacks on the oil refineries. Remember that? The Hungarian and the Romanian oil refineries. And now Orban is hitting back at Donald Tusk. And he posted on X, "Prime Minister Tusk has launched another attack against Hungary. He is doing this because he is in big trouble at home. His party lost the presidential election. His government is unstable and he is trailing in the polls. Together with Manfred Weber, he has become one of the loudest warmongers in Europe. Yet his war policy is failing. Ukraine is running out of European money, and the Polish people are tired of the war. He cannot change course because he has turned Poland into a vassal of Brussels. He is now in panic mode, persecuting his political opponents and criticizing Hungary's pro-peace stance in an attempt to distract from his own domestic problems. This is so sad. What part of Orbán's post on X is incorrect? None of it. None of it is incorrect. Tusk is very unpopular, or he is becoming very unpopular. People in Poland, I do believe, a majority of the citizens in Poland are absolutely tired of the conflict in Ukraine, and they want nothing to do with it. And Tusk is a vassal of the EU, of the globalists. Always has been. He always has been a globalist vassal. Always has been, always will be. He is EU globalist first. I don't even think he won. Did he really win? Did his party win the elections? I don't think they came in first place. If I remember those elections in Poland, Tusk came in second place. His party came second overall, but he was the only one that was able to form a coalition. His party was the only party that would be able to form a coalition to govern. So he ended up as prime minister. So that's Orbán blasting Donald Tusk, the globalist known as Donald Tusk. Orbán also posted about Ukraine's financial situation and the EU's financial situation. Well, Ukraine's financial situation is the EU's financial situation, and the EU's financial situation is Ukraine's financial situation, right? Those two are connected now. Orbán said, Brussels has no money of its own. It uses our money, the money of the member states, to finance the war in Ukraine. Over 20% of the next EU budget is proposed to go to Ukraine, while Europe's economy is in deep trouble. Financing war with debt and tax hikes is not a strategy. It is a road to ruin. It's time for peace. It's time to rebuild Europe. 20% of the EU's budget for next year is earmarked for Project Ukraine. Dang. That's a lot. And when they say 20%, you know it's going to end up being more like 40%, right? Just double that. Whatever numbers they put out about Ukraine, money to Ukraine, or budget earmarked for Ukraine, just double it. If they say $200 billion has gone to Ukraine, at a minimum, it's $400 billion at a minimum. It's probably more like $600 billion, but yeah. The EU is in deep trouble, man. They are on the hook for Project Ukraine financially. Ursula said that the EU is going to support Ukraine financially for as long as it takes, right? Remember that? That was like 3-4 years ago when Ursula promised that the EU would fund Ukraine forever, at least until the defeat of Putin. Tatters, Putin, tatters, she said, Ursula. She said, tatters, tatters. That was like 3 years ago. The famous tatters speech. Who's in tatters now? Who is in tatters now? So should we do a drone update? Drone update, drone update. Here's another segment of EU drone updates. I think there was a drone alert over the airport in Berlin, huh? They had to shut down the airport for 2 hours, according to DW, because of drones, or suspended operations for 2 hours at the Berlin airport because of drones. Those drones, those pesky drones, causing disruptions in Germany and the Baltics and Poland and Romania, those pesky drones, those Putin drones. Oh my God, Sara Wagenknecht. She gave an interview the other day, and she said on German state TV, get this, there were no Russian drones over Germany or Denmark. And she accused Merz of spreading lies. There are no drones, she's saying. No drones. It's just Merz spreading lies. Why would Merz spread lies? Why would BlackRock Merz spread lies? Come on. That doesn't sound like Merz to spread lies. Would a former top-level executive of BlackRock spread lies? I don't think so, man. I just don't think so. I don't see it. I don't see it. Nah, not Mertz. I think Sada Wagenknecht is misunderstanding the drone situation with this accusation against Mertz. So let's do a clown world, and we can wrap up this video from the main square of Ayanapa on this Sunday. So Al Jilani, also known as Al Shara, also known as Bizarro Alensky, he is going to be traveling to the White House. That's right, an official visit of a Syrian president, unelected head chopper president, traveling to White House. It's the first time that that a president of Syria will be meeting the president of the United States. I think it's the first time that a president, and I say president in quotes, in air quotes, will be meeting with the president of the United States. And the reports are that Al Jilani, Al Shara, Bizarro, Alensky, he will be joining the White House, the U.S.'s anti-ISIS coalition. You cannot make this stuff up, man. You cannot make this stuff up. Syria's Shara to sign deal at White House to join anti-ISIS coalition. Unbelievable, man. He's going to join an anti-ISIS coalition, Al-Shara. Well, he was in Moscow as well. Met with Putin as well. That upset a lot of people, Al-Shara meeting with Putin. And now he's going to meet with Trump. That is going to upset a lot of people as well. It's also going to please a lot of people. A lot of neocons are going to be very happy at Al-Shara coming home, I guess. I guess he's coming home, isn't he? How far away is the White House from Langley? Not too far away. Not too far away at all from Northern Virginia. Anyway, Al-Shara, I said it. I said it many times, right? When Al-Shara was at the UN, what did I say about Al-Shara Al-Jilani? He's the it kid now. He's much more popular than Alensky ever was. Everyone wants to meet with Al Jilani. And now he's going to join an anti-ISIS coalition. Upside down world. Upside down world. Oh boy, one more. Let's do one more. Nikki Haley posted this on X. Every American has the right to free speech. That does not mean spreading hate or making excuses, for it has no consequence. When speech is used to spread hatred and lies against fellow Americans because of their faith, it's not cancellation to say so. It's moral clarity. So Nikki Haley is lecturing us on moral clarity. That does not mean spreading hate or making excuses, for it has no consequences. Okay, understood. Understood, Nikki Haley. Didn't Trump call her bird brain Nikki? Isn't that what he called her during the campaign, bird brain? I think so. I think that's what he called Nikki Haley. Yeah, so she's lecturing us on moral clarity. Nikki Haley lecturing us on moral clarity. And the most popular response to Nikki Haley on this thread comes from Murray, who says, I don't listen to moral lectures from bloodthirsty warmongers who autograph missiles used to blow up children. And you have the infamous, disgusting picture of Nikki Haley signing a missile that was used to kill children in Gaza. We know that photo from when Nikki Haley, I think that was from when Nikki Haley was campaigning
for president. And she signed that missile.
Yeah, she's lecturing us on moral clarity. I think this has to do with this post on X with the cancellation stuff. Has to do with the whole Tucker Carlson thing. Tucker Carlson, Nick Fuentes interview or something like that. And people are freaking out and they want to cancel Tucker. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble. We are on Telegram. Like this video. Subscribe to this channel. Of course, I forgot to say it once again, but you would be helping this channel out a lot by liking this video, subscribing to the channel. And I will see everybody tomorrow. Let's walk to the statue. News is over. Let's just go to the statue here in Ayia Napa. Peace statue, right? It's a peace statue with the whole family. And the dog, of course.